I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Israeli forces enter the heart of southern Gaza's largest city, Khan Yunis, following a night of heavy airstrikes. Meantime, calls continue for Hamas to release its remaining Israeli hostages. CBS's Chris Livesay in Jerusalem.
Hostages' families demanding Israel resume negotiations immediately.
I don't know that the cabinet needed to have a flame lit under them to get these hostages out.
Israelis are also lighting a flame under the international community after women's advocates flooded the UN over accusations that Hamas has used rape as a weapon of war.
Also, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said today that the military would have to retain open-ended security control over the Gaza Strip long after the war against Hamas ends. In a bulletin reviewed by CBS News, feds warned law enforcement nationwide that terror groups will likely use the war in Gaza to call for U.S. violence this holiday season. FBI Director Christopher Wray tells lawmakers on Capitol Hill,
given the steady drumbeat of calls for attacks by foreign terrorist organizations since October 7th, we're working around the clock to identify and disrupt potential attacks.
The Senate unanimously approves more than 420 military promotions that had been held up for 10 months by a single lawmaker. CBS's Allison Keyes reports.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says now,
hundreds of military families across the country can breathe a sigh of relief.
Alabama Republican Tommy Tuberville had been blocking more than 400 military promotions over a Pentagon abortion policy. He ended his opposition to all but 11 after other lawmakers said he was hurting military families, but says he has no regrets. The White House says it is glad that the officers can now move on with their lives. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
President Biden says if an opponent of his was not in the 2024 race, he may not be running himself. More from CBS's Matt Piper.
President Biden said he's not sure he would be running for re-election if former President Trump were not also running. But we cannot let him win, he said at the Boston fundraiser. No cameras or microphones were allowed inside the event, but those traveling with the president were able to report on his comments. In 2019, Mr. Biden said he was running then because of Trump's reaction to white supremacists' 2017 march in Charlottesville, where Trump said there were very fine people on both sides. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Union actors have voted to ratify a three-year contract deal with Hollywood studios that ended their nearly four-month-long strike. The 78% approval from the members of SAG-AFTRA was no certainty, with some prominent members voicing dissent on the deal. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that the 1849 law that was interpreted as an abortion ban does not actually ban consensual abortions. Following the Dobbs decision last year, state officials pointed to that law to criminalize all abortions. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin praised the judge's decision, calling it a step forward to restoring access to abortion across the state. Still, this is likely not the final ruling on the matter, and the case is expected to make its way to the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin and Minnesota are asking for more than $1 million to replace the John A. Blatnick Bridge between Superior and Duluth. The span is critical for connecting the two states. 33,000 vehicles use it every day. But it's 60 years old, and the governors say it's in bad shape. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers take an extra day off. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers have an extra day off this week because they don't play until Monday night against the struggling New York Giants. That's good for several players still recovering from injuries suffered in their big win against the Chiefs on Sunday night. The Wisconsin women's volleyball team advances in the NCAA tournament tomorrow night. They'll be at Penn State against the home team in the regionals. Game time, 6 p.m. NBA, the Bucks host the Knicks tonight at Fiserv Forum for the in-season tournament. The winner advances to Las Vegas. What will happen there?
Well, whatever happens in Vegas,
You know what I'm saying?
But you bring the trophy home if you win it.
I don't know. I might stay in Vegas. Well, do we get some cash if we win?
Yeah.
Play some blackjack?
Yeah, sure.
You could stay.
You might have another game.
You know, I'm going to go play some roulette, put it on black.
Ooh, okay.
Double my money. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Red 34.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy overnight with a low of 26. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs level off around 38 tomorrow. Lows around 32 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're coming to the front lines of history in the making right now. There are a lot of big stories, but one that just broke literally as I was coming on the air. The Confederate sympathizer white supremacist Tommy Tuberville has now said that he will drop his objections to some military promotions, but not all of them. The ones he will drop his objection to are any promotion to 3 stars or below that requires Senate confirmation. That typically is flag officers. Why are they called flag officers? Because when you become a general or an admiral, you're issued a flag. And if you go on a ship, they pipe you aboard. The sailors all line up, pipe you aboard. And your flag is flown beneath the American flag. It shows that Comnav Sinclair or whatever it is on board. And the same is true in the Army and the Air Force and so on. So they're called flag officers. So as far down as they require Senate confirmation, Tuberville has been blocking them since February. It's been 10 months. 10 months. Well, we're facing a hot war in Ukraine, a hot war in Israel, and a hot war in the Red Sea, and with Iranian proxies shelling our ships. And the treacherous dog, Tuberville, has simply, by invoking unanimous consent, held them up. Well, now he said, I will drop them for 3 stars and below. There's no rational reason for that. There's no rhyme or reason that he should continue to put a hold on any military promotion. He doesn't object to any of them. He does not object to any of them. The reason for the 3-star and below is because Sullivan, who is a senator from Alaska, but very pro-military, suggested that to him to get the ball rolling. But he's not dropping his objections based on unanimous consent to 4-star promotions. Those are the top admirals and generals in our military. 4-star promotions. That would be, for instance, the commanding officer of the 2nd Fleet, the 6th Fleet, the 3rd Fleet, the 5th, the 7th Fleet, our major generals. We're going to go to the line. Cindy of Appleton, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cindy. What's on your mind today?
Well, we spend how many billions of dollars on our military budget? It's like 60% of our gross national product, whatever you call it now. isn't this really undermining all the money we spend on our national defense when we have some bonehead like this in here not doing the work of the people and the work of the budget?
Yeah, you're right on the money, right on the money. Here's what's going on, Cindy. He said he thinks there's too many officers and he never served, and he thinks they're too woke. Translate, he's come out and said he's a white supremacist. I mean, he said a white supremacist is simply an American and a Trump supporter. He does not like to see black admirals and generals and female admirals and generals. And he doesn't have the guts to just come out and say it. So what does he do? He goes, well, they're too woke. Oh, really? They're too woke. He doesn't have a clue. He didn't serve. He didn't even serve as an enlisted man or a junior officer in anything. And the clown is pontificating. I can't stand this guy. Let me tell you something. I do not want to see this guy in July in Milwaukee next year, my town. I don't want to see him. I want to see the dog, the venomous dog. And you know something? If you see him, if you're in Milwaukee and there's a Republican convention, you see this idiot walking down the street, you go up to him. Do not threaten him. We don't want criminal activity. And say, you're no damn good. Get out of our state. You're no damn good. Get out of our state. Beat it. Get out of here. I can't stand to look at you. Treacherous dog that you are. You know what he reminds me of? There's an historical analogy, and you may have heard of some of it. There was an enslaved man named Joshua Glover in the 1850s. He was a slave in the South in Missouri. He'd been sold several times. And when they sold a slave, believe this or not, they stripped them naked, put them in front of a crowd of buyers, men and women. And the buyers were permitted to feel them up, supposedly just their arms and legs to see how strong they were. And Joshua Glover was damn tired of being sold and stripped and felt and working for nothing and being a slave. And so what he did was he escaped. However, in the early 1850s, there's a thing called the Fugitive Slave Act, made a federal offense to hide a slave and to interfere with his recapture. Believe it or not, that was one of the main things that led to the Civil War. People in the North weren't going to put up with that. Joshua Glover got to Racine, and he was betrayed by somebody whom he had trusted. And they sent slave catchers, guys like Tuberville, up from the South to arrest him, and they put him in jail in Milwaukee. Believe it or not, Milwaukee, the early 50s. Well, word got around. Folks in Milwaukee didn't like that. They went down to the jail, and they tore it apart. They freed him, put him on the Underground Railroad back to Racine and then up to Canada, and he was a free man. There is nothing in the historical narrative that says what happens to the slave catchers. You know, these gibbering guys with the gray hats and half their teeth tobacco stained. There's nothing. I do not know if they were hanged. I suspect they were not. I suspect that they took to their heels. They got a little buckshot in the rear end. They left town real quick. Tuberville, you are essentially a slave catcher. We don't want you and your kind. Now, here's what this guy did. Purely out of vanity, he said it was about abortion. He doesn't care about abortion. Some people said it was because the new space station is going to be built. And it was determined, because of all best engineering practices and everything else, to build it in Colorado. Alabama wanted it. They already have a space station in Alabama. They wanted a second one. We didn't get it. He demanded that it be put there. And then he drops this hold on everybody. Then he said it's abortion. Then he says because people are too woke. Then he said it was because there are too many officers. How would he know? You know, it's very, very common for people that have no military experience to denigrate leadership. They go, oh, leadership, what does it matter? If you're out there in the jungle and you don't have a company commander, your platoon leader is just as good. Well, no, that's not true, okay? Oh, you're out at sea and you don't have a captain. All right, well, the executive officer is just as good. Well, no, he isn't. No, he isn't. And okay, you're on the USS Kearney in the Red Sea, and the Houthis of Yemen are Iranian proxies. They hate the United States. They hate Western civilization. They hate Israel. And they launch missiles at freighters, commercial freighters, and also at the USS Kearney. Now, the USS Kearney, I've been on a destroyer. I was not assigned to a destroyer. I was assigned to an ARS, but I've been on a destroyer and had friends on destroyers. They're very vulnerable. And there is no commanding officer of the Fifth Fleet in Bahrain as a result of Tommy Tuberville. How the hell does he know that we don't need a four-star admiral in Bahrain? That idiot, I'm going to the, getting angry. I'm going to the phones. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, I'll take you in order. You're first, Jean of Eau Claire. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt, great show. And you know what? Your anger is well justified. You know what's required. You've been there and done that. And see, I want to take it one step further, and that is, he is anti-democracy. He is for authoritarianism and a Putin supporter, in my opinion, because of his actions. We are in danger now, and we need to wake up in our country, because what's happening all around to democracies, which you've been saying all along, and evidence is showing it, people need to just pay attention to what's going on, because they are taking a lot of countries, democracies, down from the inside out. So those Republicans, they're not the old Republicans, believe you me, but some of them, you know, have changed, which I'm shocked because I've watched them for years. We need to get these people out, and that guy is a threat to the United States of America, in my opinion. He shouldn't be heard or nothing like that, but he needs to be voted out. Those people should not even be allowed on the steps of the Capitol because of what they've done to our country and continue to do to our country. So thank you so much for all the information and education, Matt, because you've been there, and we're so lucky to have you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very, very much, Jean. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Dick, what's in your mind today?
Well, amongst other things, he's a carpetbagger, like our own senator. He lives in the panhandle of Florida. It's, you know, like Ron Johnson here. How much time does Ron Johnson spend in this state? Very little, I'm certain. But the guy is just, at every level, a joke. I think what he's trying to do, Matt, personally, is line himself up to run with Trump as a VP, because he's on the same page with everything across the board, if you look at him. And that's all he wants, is a yes man.
Yeah, that's a very good insight. And here, let me build on that, and I'll tell you what. He's a senator from Alabama. Yeah, he lives in the panhandle of Florida because it's nicer there, he thinks, or whatever. He has no loyalty. He has no loyalty in anybody or anything. And would Trump pick him as VP? I think that's a stretch, because he's so controversial with his military thing. And Trump is a draft dodger. Remember, during Vietnam, he claimed he had bone spurs. But he may very well be angling for cabinet position. He could lose the next time in Alabama. There could be a guy in the Republican Party that's just as conservative, who also is a military veteran, said, we're not going to put up with this. And he may be out of a job. He's a clown. And I think Trump probably would give him a job in his cabinet. These are the kind of people he would pick up. These are the kind of people he would pick up. Thanks for calling. Coming up, there's now a split in the Republican leadership on whether there should be pay raises for the UW system.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert
This is The Shaw, WAUK. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
But this has to do with the tens of thousands of employees who make the university work. In the engineering department, custodians, and everything else. And I'm told that this, by senior people in the UW system, that this has had a devastating impact. If somebody can go out in Amazon and make $25 an hour, and they're being offered $10 or $12 an hour and no raises, it's not hard to see what they're going to do. Here's the split. Robin Voss, the speaker, won't budge, he says, will not give pay raises until the UW system gets rid of the DEI programs, diversity, equity, and inclusion. But Devin LeMahieu, the Sheboygan area state senator, who frankly is a little more moderate than Voss, he wants those raises to go through. He wants those raises to go through, and he made a good point. He said the employees have no control over DEI. Some guy who's a janitor at UW Oshkosh, what control does he have over DEI? He has none whatsoever. How about somebody in the heating and air conditioning system in Eau Claire? What does he have to do with DEI? He has nothing to do with DEI. I have an idea. LeMahieu said that he thinks that there's a chance that these wages will go through. I have two ideas. One, they better be retroactive, like everybody else's. They can't just be saying, all right, we cheated you for a couple of months, so therefore the hell with you, and just going, no, they've got to be retroactive, the same as all other employees. Secondly, keep this in mind. This affects about 35,000 employees of the UW system. That's roughly half, just roughly half, of the state employees in the state. The other half got raises. What, one half doesn't get raises, one half does, and the one half that doesn't are essentially keeping one of the greatest university systems in the world going, and no one cares? Well, they do care. I care, and a lot of people care. But I do have an idea. DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, has gotten a bad name, sometimes for bad reasons, but sometimes for good reasons. Let me give you an example. In the DEI programs in some universities, it's gone over the top. Michigan has hundreds of DEI officers. It has resulted in anti-Semitism. For instance, if you take a look at Stanford, you take a look at the Ivy League, people are, DEI is diversity, equity, and inclusion. If there is exclusion involved, diversity, equity, and exclusion of Jewish students, bullying and so forth, that has to be rooted out, root and branch from our universities. So one possibility, and I throw this out for people who want to consider it, is sit down with Voss and LeMahieu. LeMahieu's on your side anyway, and say, look, this is killing the university. It's wrong. Janitors have absolutely no control over DEI. But why don't we do this? Why don't we have an audit of the DEI programs conducted by the university? And if it is found that some of the DEI programs and the people that we've put in them are working to enable or not to stand up to anti-Semitism in our campuses, they will be trimmed. They will be trimmed. DEI should only be in effect to make sure that students who historically were rejected, historically made it difficult to attend college, and were themselves discriminated against to be able to attend the colleges here in the state with their heads high and get a great education. But the perversion of DEI into anti-Semitism in some campuses, that's a legitimate question. That gives Voss face to save. LeMahieu's on the side anyway. Let's get this done. We'll go to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jack. What's in your mind today?
Well, first of all, in my opinion, for what it's worth, there are several things going on here. And the first and foremost thing for Voss and most of the crazy Republicans we have these days is do as much damage to the UW system as possible. Cut. Make people have to pay more. Keep those people who traditionally are lower income, like, for instance, some of those that are trying to get into some of the spur campuses that are now being closed. Keep them away from college so that they can't develop critical thinking skills. This is, you know, the idea that Voss says that it's because of DEI, I think, is intentional misinformation. And what it's really about is doing as much damage to the university level of public education as possible. They've already done a lot to K through 12 system, and certainly to the preschool system as well, because of their refusing to have any support for child care. So that, I think, is what this is really about. And that's the Republican philosophy these days. You know, it's the old, I love the poorly educated. Gee, I wonder who said that.
That's an excellent call. And for those of you who do not know, Jack is a lifelong teacher, and in fact speaks with a great deal of experience in this. Jack, thanks a lot for an excellent call. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Mark?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Matt. Yeah, it's remarkable that perhaps the university needs to expand DEI to explicitly include that poor, oppressed group of conservative college Republicans that seem to feel that they're always completely put out and not recognized on campus, that make Voss feel more comfortable that actually DEI should include those people, because, you know, they feel like they're an excluded group. Perhaps, you know, that sensitivity snowflake-ism of them should be recognized as well. I don't know, I'm making myself clear here, but something that kicks around in my head is that they seem to feel like they're oppressed on campus, and I certainly don't think they really are. But they feel like they're at such a disadvantage that perhaps there's some way to seduce Voss into accepting DEI, make him recognize the fact.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Thanks for the call. There's got to be a resolution to this. We have LeMahieu.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israeli forces have entered southern Gaza's largest city, says CBS's Chris Livesay in Jerusalem.
Southern Gaza, once relatively safer than the rest of the strip, no longer. Paramedics flee nearby tank fires, saving who they can along the way.
FBI Director Christopher Wray says terrorists may attack the U.S. in retaliation for America's support of Israel in its war with Hamas.
The threat level has gone to a whole nother level since October 7th.
The Senate approved 425 military promotions after Senator Tommy Tuberville released his months-long hold. Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Patrick Ryder.
When it's unclear whether or not your senior leaders are going to be in place at the time and place they're needed, that, of course, creates unnecessary friction and does have impact on readiness.
Film and television actors have ratified the contract agreement their leaders reached with the studios. The vote, 78% to 22%. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Governor Tony Evers signed the bill to spend $500 million of public money to pay for upkeep at American Family Field on Tuesday. The bill eventually saw bipartisan support in the legislature after months of negotiations. Now negotiations can begin between the Brewers and the state-created ballpark district that owns the stadium to keep the team in Milwaukee through 2050. The Wisconsin State Senate's top Republican tells the Wisconsin iPublic Affairs Network he disagrees with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss over withholding University of Wisconsin pay raises over diversity programming.
Why do you support holding back those pay raises for UW employees?
I don't support holding them back.
You think that money should go out the door?
Yeah, I do.
Republican Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says withholding raises hurts a lot of people who have nothing to do with diversity programs. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy overnight with a low of 26. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs level off around 38 tomorrow. Lows around 32 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 38. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, 27. Tomorrow, high of 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Well, Welcome back to Mifflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up and pick up on some of the calls that came in on the LeMahieu-Voss split and the raises. And it's true, some very, very good points made. This disguises a real overall problem. Even if these raises go through, that's a pittance compared to how the Republican Party has savaged the UW system since Scott Walker was elected. Scott Walker had a visceral hatred for higher education. He left his higher education before he graduated. There are a lot of theories on why he did that, but he was venomous towards higher education. And if you take a look at what's going on now, they shoot down the engineering school, even though a lot of it would be paid for by private contributions. They didn't even take up the health science building for UWM. They tried initially to make the mission statement change it from the Wisconsin idea to simply that it was going to be a trade school for Wisconsin business. And they have routinely starved it of money on purpose. The greatest asset that this state has, the greatest asset we punch above our weight, we're an average state in terms of population and income, but we have a superb university system. UW-Madison has been ranked 34th in the world at one point, 34th in the world, including all of the United States, every university in the United States, everyone in the UK, everyone in France, Germany, Spain, Russia, China, everywhere. Everywhere. This is Wisconsin. UWM is a tier one research university. There's only 150 of them in the country. There are thousands of colleges in the country, but there are only two tier ones in Wisconsin, and they are Madison and UWM. I've audited courses at UWM. My dad was on the fact that UWM is a superb university. And the other ones, I've had relatives go to many of them. UW La Crosse, UW Stevens Point, friends and clients, UW Eau Claire, Whitewater, all of them, Oshkosh, Superior. One of the things I love about Superior is one of its most famous graduates, UW Superior, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Believe it or not, when he was a young man, can you imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger walking down the street in Superior? What a great image. What a great image. In any event, this legislature is anti-intellectual. It is a think small legislature that is determined to drag Wisconsin down. So I'm not grateful for the fact that they now may look at raises. They should have looked at it a long time ago, but that's only the tip of the iceberg. Well, here's something else they're proposing in their attack on democracy. Believe it or not, there is a bill being drafted to dissolve the Wisconsin Elections Commission. That's one way to get Megan Wolfhell no longer have a job and three Democrats out from the ability to check Republican attacks on the democracy. And here's what they're proposing. And you've got to read it very carefully, because if you don't, you think, oh, that might be okay. It's not okay. They're proposing that the duties of the Wisconsin Election Commission be turned over to the Secretary of State. Well, now that's Sarah Godlewski, but you can't guarantee that it'll always be either a Democrat or a Republican who stands for our democracy. But there's a sneaky little tail to it. And guess what that tail is? It bars, this legislation would bar the Secretary of State from taking any action without the prior approval of the gerrymandered legislature. So that's effectively what they're saying is this. Sarah Godlewski will become Megan Wolf. She'll be the executive director. She'll have no policy chops at all. And she will take orders from a gerrymandered legislature who will tell her, for instance, about drop boxes, who will tell her, for instance, about early voting, which would mean no drop boxes, no early voting. They would tell her what advice to give to clerks, and their intent is to confuse clerks, to confuse them. There are thousands of clerks, election clerks in the state, thousands. You may say, well, Matt, wait a minute, there are only 72 counties. That's true, there are, but lots of towns, villages, there are clerks all over the place. And they all call. And they all call Megan Wolf right now. And Megan Wolf gives them what the Wisconsin Election Commission had mandated. She has to make policy. And the Wisconsin Election Commission is three Democrats, three Republicans, and has set procedures. So this crooked, sneaky deal, and I'm hoping they don't try it as a constitutional amendment, because if they do, and they manage to trick the voters in this state, you've essentially turned over to the gerrymandered legislature responsibility for elections, and they'll stay gerrymandered. We go to the lines. Tom and McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, just to build on that, I don't know how many times I heard from Republican friends that, you know, our election, 2020 election, was fraudulent because the Wisconsin Election Commission enacted policy that was not approved by the legislature. And they forget that when the Republicans formed the Wisconsin Election Commission, written within the statute that formed it, they ceded the authority to the Wisconsin Election Commission, acting on their behalf. So everything that the Wisconsin Election Commission did in 2020 was as a proxy to the legislation, which made it legal and constitutional. But more to the point, with this new legislation that's coming up, remember, the Republicans want to take the Secretary of State and make that an appointee instead of having it being an elected official. So that would now remove one more barrier in terms of them just making sure they can control whatever the election outcome is going to be. Right now, we have quite a few checks and balances, and this past election showed that the balances are working, which is exactly why the Republicans want to get rid of it. They didn't like the precursor to the Wisconsin Election Commission because it was doing its job. So they dissolved it, formed the Wisconsin Election Commission, and now the Wisconsin Election Commission is doing its job, all of which seem to be stymieing Republican efforts to end free elections in Wisconsin. So I'm right there with you. This cannot go forward. Thank you.
Yeah, no, excellent call, Tom, as always. Yeah, let me build on that. Let me build on that. There had been prior iterations going back to the, there's a guy named Kevin Kennedy who was the executive director in the late 70s, early 80s. He was terrific. They were all terrific. The Republicans didn't like any of it. And remember something I've said many times. Republican strategy is chaos, violence, and fraud. Sparingly used with the violence, but we saw it on January 6th, and we also saw it, frankly, in these death threats that Trump is ginning up against election clerks, against Megan Wolf, against the Election Commission. The two major things that the Republicans and some Republicans I know who claim there was fraud are there were drop boxes, and also there was an old age home in Racine where the guidance from the Wisconsin Election Commission, and Tom's absolutely right, it was ceded, the authority was ceded to the WEC by the legislature, which is permissible. There was this old age home, and they were trying to distribute ballots in April of 2020 and then in the fall of 2020. And that was not only COVID, but it was pre-vaccine. Remember the vaccine, I didn't get my first vaccine shot till January of 21. If you were a really high-risk medical case, you might get in December of 20. But nobody got vaccine in September of 20 or November of 20, and nobody got it certainly in April of 20. And so how do these old folks vote? Because the guidance from the Wisconsin Election Commission was there should be a representative of some sort going there with the ballots. The old folks would line up, they get their ballot, they'd mark it. The representative would then notarize it, and everything would be hunky-dory. Well, the Wisconsin Election Commission met, and all six of them, three Democrats, three Republicans, bipartisan, said what we're going to do is mail it to the old folks, mail it to the senior citizens, and then we'll have somebody there who's a notary or whatever was needed to witness it and take care of it and mail it back. And they did that. And no one has alleged there's any impropriety in that. And that was voted on by the Wisconsin Election Commission, which has ceded the authority to do it by the state legislature in the statute. The Republicans thought that Trump would win. The Republicans thought that the April 2020 elections would go their way. When it didn't go their way, they claimed fraud, and they went into court and they got a very right-wing judge, a Trump-type judge, to say that you couldn't have drop boxes after the fact. After the fact, even though they had been authorized before. Okay, fine, but it's not retroactive. And by the way, this Supreme Court will likely overturn that as well. But it wasn't retroactive. So all these people are going, oh, there was fraud. No, there wasn't fraud. The Wisconsin Election Commission, 6-0, totally bipartisan, said the senior citizens should get them by mail. They agreed. Otherwise, they wouldn't have voted because none of these old age homes is letting anybody in, because that happened in New York, and then COVID ran through the old folks and a lot of them died. That's all we're talking about here. So when Gableman and Voss and everybody else says there may have been fraud, they're lying, flat out lying. So this idea to get rid of the Wisconsin Election Commission, which has done its job, and so did its predecessor, by the way, and Kevin Kennedy was one of the great ones. I wish him well. I fond memories of the work he did 40 years ago. But now they're saying we're going to use the Secretary of State essentially as a executive director like a Megan Wolf, who has no authority to do anything unless the gerrymandered legislature says they can. And the gerrymandered legislature will say stuff that's designed to reelect the gerrymandered legislature. That's what's going on. And Tom makes another excellent point that they have proposed making the Secretary of State an appointment by the governor. And okay, you can say, all right, Tony Evers. Well, it's not always going to be Tony Evers. There will be Republican governors. There'll be another Scott Walker. I would like to think that would take a constitutional amendment, by the way. I would like to think that the people in the state would see through it. When, you know, the Republicans tried to make the state treasurer appointed, and Sarah Godlewski got on that. She launched the opposition, and then she became the state treasurer. We have got to be sure that if they try it through constitutional amendment to make the Secretary of State appointed by the governor, that we resist that with every ounce of strength. I mean, you can't have that. The treasurer, the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, the Lieutenant Governor, they should all be elected, and so should the Superintendent of Public Instruction. Otherwise, you're going to have a whole raft of Gableman hacks someday in there buttoning this state up, and that should not be permitted to be done. Well, there's a couple of announcements, which I was sort of saddened to see, believe it or not. Patrick McHenry, the guy who is the speaker momentarily, and I think did a good job, is retiring. He's been in 20 years. Young guy, 48 or 90. He was elected when he was 29, the youngest guy in the Congress at that time, 20 years ago. But I thought he had integrity. He's a Republican, but most people don't know this. He was the only member of the North Carolina delegation who voted.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On 1 FM and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bill. What's in your mind today?
You brought up somebody that actually induces vomiting in me, and that's Robin Voss. You know, Voss had to get in the popcorn business and screw it up like he screwed up our state. But I want to make a statement that to him and any of his supporters that are listening. Guys like Robin Voss fear education, because if you invest in education, you get citizens that make intelligent decisions, not puppets that follow and don't without question. George Carlin's got a great tape on why Republicans hate education. But I want to touch on one more thing. You were talking about colleges and Republican, young Republicans not being welcomed. I think we should welcome them into all, and I mean it, I'm not joking, into all our colleges right. in Wisconsin, and then create something that they will flourish at, and it'll be interesting. Let's have debate. Let's have the young Republicans and the young Democrats debate. I watched that clown show that Hannity put on, which he called a debate, and here's what Hannity can't. These how ignorant these people are. He's supposed to be the moderator, not the guy that's hitting Gavin Newsom. Well, because DeSantis can't even defend himself. That was pathetic. DeSantis can't defend himself. So Hannity, instead of being a moderator, decides, well, I'll just jump in and I'll tag team with him and maybe we could both. And they still couldn't beat Newsom. That's what the American public has to see. I hope MSNBC puts an equal charge out and let Sean Hannity debate Joe Scarborough. And you know what? I'll pay money to go and listen to that. I'll pay good money to listen to go to that. Why? Because we're going to learn something. Remember, these clowns, this clown show, their top clown, the number one clown, 91 felonies, 26 sexual assaults, 11 bankruptcies, the best they've got. That's it. That's how out of luck these guys are. We got to stop showing them respect. They have no accountability. If I run into one, I'll say I'm glad to debate you, but we're not going to play in La La Land. We're going to play by the rules. These people are beyond pathetic, and I think they can't walk it back anymore. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent call, as always. And I watched that debate. I thought Gavin Newsom has a real future in presidential politics. I hope he's president someday. And DeSantis just was pathetic. And Hannity jumped in, but Hannity is so clumsy, he did a lousy job too. They had a deal beforehand. There'd be no props and then no videos, and they violated it. Suddenly, DeSantis is pulling out props of gay books and falsely saying they're in the schools, and then a map showing feces in San Francisco, which is disgusting and false. And then the clown Hannity puts up videos about crime statistics that are rigged. They're rigged. And all that Newsom has to do is look and say, hey, wait a minute. Florida is a smaller state than we are, and they have 60% more murders. And Hannity doesn't even show any remorse for busting the deal and rigging it. And Hannity's a hack. DeSantis is a hack. And quite frankly, we need Gavin Newsom. We need him today, quite frankly, but I was very, very impressed with him. I want to talk about one thing. There is a unbelievable silence on the part of women's groups in this country about the rapes and sexual torture of Israeli women by Hamas. And Pramila Jayapal of the state of Washington, who is the chair of the Progressive Caucus, was hit on that by Dana Bash this weekend. And she was terrible. She said, well, you know, it's both sides, there's an equivalency. That's false. The Israeli government and soldiers have done nothing like that. As a matter of fact, I read an account, you can see it online, I'm not going to repeat it here, it's so awful, of the sexual tortures and the genital tortures that Hamas did of those Israeli women. That when they came on that rave concert, there were a lot of attractive women there. And one reason why Hamas didn't get farther into Israel is because they enjoyed themselves torturing these women. That's all I want to say about that. However, Sheryl Sandberg, the former CFO of Facebook, put out a very, very good speech now, demanding that women's groups denounce Hamas's sadism towards Israeli women. But why are they not? And it's because, quite frankly, some of the women's groups increasingly are not devoted to women's issues. They're devoted to other issues. And I'm going to give you an example, the Women's March. The Women's March after Trump got elected, everybody had high hopes for it. The Women's March was speedily taken over by people. Linda Sarsour, S-A-R-S-O-U-R, was one of the leaders. And she gave a speech in which she said, I hope that our jihad against the American government is pleasing to Allah. All that matters is Allah. That's what she said. That is the ideology that's taken over Women's March, which is why it doesn't really exist anymore. It's split in two or three. The Council on American-Islamic Relations has a seat on it. They have penetrated other women's groups. And women's groups, quite frankly, are afraid to take any position on rape, sexual abuse, which is one of their signature issues, obviously, if it is indulged in by people in the third world, especially the Middle East. You've got to understand that. You can see the word woman in an organization's name and think, oh, that's a good organization. That's great. I'll contribute to it. Dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. There is no way that the squad, there's no way that the Progressive Caucus in this country now, largely Democratic Socialists of America types, not Democrats, are going to denounce any rape, any mutilation, any sadism towards Israeli women or Jewish women by anybody in the Middle East. They're not going to do it. All that they say about denouncing the United States about sexual abuse and so far is a fraud. That is not their signature issue. It's not the signature issue of Women's March. And I'll tell you what, if you take a look at the National Organization for Women and Me Too and everything else, contact them. Say, why have you not denounced the rapes and the sadism towards Israeli women and girls? Some of them very young girls, some of them teenagers, some of them younger than that. And it's going on right now against some of the hostages they still have. They will tap dance and shuffle, but basically that's not the issue that has overtaken their group. Well, coming up, a lot of news, weather, and unbelievably, take a look at new work from Liz Cheney in her new book, Oath and Honor, and some of the things she said that I had not been aware of.
20th century. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAU.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com. I'm Christopher Cruz. The Senate has approved the nominations of about 425 military officers whose promotions were blocked for months by Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville. Tuesday, he said he'd lifted the hold, except for four-star generals and admirals. CBS News military consultant and retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland said the hold did damage.
This action probably encouraged a large number of senior officers, colonels, who were thinking about staying in, as well as other general officers, to consider retirement as opposed to staying on active duty, as they perceive this as a further example of efforts in the Congress and the Senate to politicize U.S. military.
The FBI has sent a bulletin to law enforcement agencies nationwide warning that terrorists could attack the U.S. in retaliation for its support of Israel during the war in Gaza. More from CBS's Catherine Herridge.
On Capitol Hill, a stark warning from the FBI chief.
I've never seen a time